Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. For more information, www.mecu.com, or you can go to thesteinershow.org and click on their banner. There's more information there as well. I'd like to welcome to our show once again Congresswoman Donna Edwards. Congresswoman, welcome. Always a pleasure to have you on the air with us.
Great to be with you. Hey, Mark.
So we talked earlier today to Congressman Sarbanes, and we're going to talk to some other congressmen over the next couple of days. That'll be heard tomorrow, about this vote that took place today on raising the deficit ceiling to pay the debt ceiling for the United States of America. It was roundly defeated. Our congressional delegation was split, with three Democrats voting for it. You, Congressman Rupersberger, and Congressman Sarbanes, but others, a fellow progressive and Elijah Cummings and people like Steny Hoyer and the two Republicans, Chris Van Hollen, all voted no. So the question is, tell us why you voted the way you did, and whether this we're watching congressional theater or is it something of substance here that just happened?
Well, I think there was a lot of theater. I mean, first of all, the Republican majority put this measure on the floor as a way to one, either embarrass the president or to demonstrate, you know, their leverage going into negotiations about the debt ceiling and about spending cuts. And everybody knew that it was going to fail. If they had really wanted a truly clean debt ceiling, one, they wouldn't use the language that they did, which basically attacked the president. But number two, they would have just said, let's raise the debt and let that be the end of it and not tie things to any kind of any of the spending cut ridiculousness that's going on. And, you know, I mean, this is really about the full faith and credit of the United States. This is about whether we're going to meet our bills and our obligations. We can have a lot of discussion about how we racked up that debt, whether it was the two wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and tax cuts for the wealthy that haven't been paid for and a prescription drug benefit under the Bush administration that was never paid for. That's how we got the overwhelming majority of this debt. But the reality is it's ours, and we have obligations to pay for it, and we have an obligation to do that for the full faith and credit of the United States. You know, denigration of the full faith and credit of the United States would have really substantial effects on the domestic financial markets and on the value of the dollar in exchange markets. Guess whose words those are? Not mine. Those are Ronald Reagan's words in November 1983, arguing to the majority leader of the Senate, then Howard Baker, that we had to raise the debt limit.
Now, the reality is that if after August 2nd, if the debt ceiling is not raised, this country would have to stop paying everything from Social Security and Medicare benefits, military salaries, and even in a worst-case scenario, the bond market reaction to our defaulting on that debt could create this crisis that we can't even imagine.
Well, people who, if we thought the Great Recession was bad, if the United States doesn't meet its obligations, we haven't even seen what will happen to our financial markets, not just our domestic financial markets, but to world financial markets. And so this is really irresponsible of the Republicans to hold the president hostage, to try to hold the rest of the members of the Congress hostage because they want to end Medicare in exchange for raising the debt limit.
So I'm a couple of things I'm very curious about from your perspective. I know that the Republicans met with the entire delegation met with President Obama today, most of it anyway, at the White House. And in the Democrats are going tomorrow. Is that correct?
We are.
So there are some people and some things I've been reading about this today who are criticizing President Obama for not playing a major role in shaping this debate and almost allowing the issue of the cuts in Social Security and Medicare to take place. But what's your take on that? I mean, and given also that you look at the last election, this took place in the congressional district number 26 in New York State, where a Republican district, Republican lost because he wanted to cut Medicare, and a Democrat won. So, I mean, what is that complex political maneuvering saying to you?
Well, today, Kathy Hochul was sworn in from New York's 26th district, and she was actually sworn in because the people in her district, just like around the country, just like 70-some percent of the people around the country don't believe we should end Medicare. And guess what? The president doesn't believe we should end Medicare at all. And so I don't think he's been removed from this debate at all. I think, in fact, he stood up and he has said how strongly we support Medicare. and we do as Democrats in the Congress. And, you know, in fact, even today, in a rule having to do with Homeland Security, the Republicans slipped in there that they want to deem and pass a rule that would put into effect the exact Medicare, the end to Medicare that they've been saying all along, oh, they may have made a little bit of a mistake on. Give me a break. They are not hiding the fact that they would end Medicare tomorrow in exchange for cuts in spending to almost every single agency and holding hostage the debt ceiling. And so I think it's completely irresponsible. There's a lot of theater going on from yesterday, but what's really clear is that Republicans want to end Medicare and Democrats don't. Pretty simple.
So a couple of quick questions here in the next 5 minutes that we have together. The Tea Party members of the United States Congress have a certain amount of power. They were just elected in there. You have people like freshman Congressman James Lankford, who has said that the debt has to be eliminated, quote, because Proverbs are pretty clear: a righteous man leaves inheritance to his children's children. And you have people like Alan West from Florida, who wants the corporate tax rate halved, and Representative Paul Broun of Georgia wants to see the Energy and Education Departments abolished. When that kind of stuff is going on, what do you think is going to take place? How do you think this thing is going to be resolved?
Well, I think the American people are speaking loudly and clearly because, the emperor has no clothes here. I mean, the American people can see very clearly that what the game that the Republicans are up to. And when I think about things like the commitments that we make from one generation to the next generation, we do that with Social Security, we do it with Medicare and with Medicaid. The idea that the wealthiest 2% still are getting away without really meeting their fair share while all the rest have to pay for that, that forms, a bulk of what our debt is here. Prescription drug coverage that was basically a handover to the pharmaceutical industry, that forms our cost for this debt. Two wars that are engaged in that were never put on the books, that's our debt. And why should the rest of the American people, hardworking people, people who get up every morning to take care of themselves and their families, have to bear that burden because a group of Republicans, whether they're Tea Party or the main party, don't want to make sure that we meet our obligations to the American people and that we meet our obligations particularly to our seniors and to future generations? I think it's really unacceptable. And I think the American people are seeing this party for what it is. And believe me, there's a lot of buyer's remorse. And the New York congressional race was but the first of the start to a return to sanity here in the United States Congress.
So what do you think is going to happen between now and August when this has to be resolved one way or the other, or we could be in a real crisis?
Well, I think people are going to go back to their members are going to go back to their congressional districts. And you know what they're going to hear? Number one, they're going to hear from people that we actually like Medicare and we want to preserve it for our seniors and for future generations. And number two, the United States pays its bills. Plain and simple, the United States meets its obligations. The United States pays its bills. And those members are going to hear on that score. And if we need to have a separate conversation about how we need to make government more efficient, how we need to look at every agency and making sure that they're not spending money wastefully and those sort of things, I'm happy to do that, but that's separate and apart from how we need to pay our bills.
Now, are you confident you can get there being in the minority?
You know what? I don't know. What I'm confident in is that I can have a conversation with the American people about our obligations and meeting our obligations and about our responsibility for future generations and about the fact that Republicans have said even again today, not enough just in the Ryan budget, before, but even again today, taking a vote that would end Medicare.
And but that's still happening. I mean, that's a push still being pushed.
Absolutely. I mean, they haven't abandoned that at all. I mean, they're trying to hide it in the ninth line of a rules bill, but they are still trying to end Medicare. And I think there's no excuse for it. I mean, Medicare is a system that's so much more efficient than private insurance. And our seniors don't want to be put in a position of having to get a chit to go negotiate with insurance companies. I mean, who's going to win that game? I mean, seniors are smart. They're not going to win against the insurance companies. That's why we need to preserve and protect Medicare.
Congresswoman Donna Edwards, 4th District from Maryland. It is always a pleasure to talk with you. I really appreciate the amount of time you take with our listeners and coming on the air to express what's going on the Hill for us.
Thank you, Mark. And I'm really proud of the vote that we took yesterday for a cleaner debt ceiling. Thanks so much.
You stand up.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Donna Edwards, we'll talk tomorrow with Congressman Sarbanes, and we'll be talking to Congressman throughout about this very critical issue facing the United States, about Medicare, Social Security, military budget, and this debt ceiling that if it doesn't rise, America could be in real trouble. And we'll be wrestling with that from all sides here. I remind you, the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. And when we return, we'll be having a conversation with Walter Mosley about his 12 steps towards political revolution. Really interesting. The man who gave us Easy Rollins is talking about the future of the nation. So stay with us for our conversation with Walter Mosley. We'll be back in just a minute.